Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, February the 20th, 2011.
All right, the music that we're singing tonight is centered around the Lord's table, and I hope that the Lord will speak to your heart through some of the words that we sing tonight. Let's stand together as we begin by singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood."
There is a fountain filled with blood.
last phrase, redeeming love shall be my theme. Sing that with me.
Redeeming love has been
and shall be till I die.
Shall be till I die.
You may be seated. I've asked Dan Bormuth if he would to come and share with us.
Well, this is the fourth time I've done this, and I tell you what, it don't get any easier. I tell you, I'm like a bucket of nerves up here. As a lot of you have said, you don't even look nervous up here, but you're not the one standing here tonight. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat walking through a room full of rocking chairs. But anyway, this song that I want to sing for you tonight, it talks about prayer. It talks about the need to keep praying for loved ones that are unsaved. Not only just praying for them, but be consistent in your prayer. And I want you to list Rodney Griffin wrote this song, Greater Vision. And I tell you what, I think this is one of the most powerful songs that he's written on prayer. I want you to listen to it. It pays to pray. Hand in hand at the altar, in tears of celebration, we never seen them smile like this before. She spent her life a-praying, on bended knees a-staying, and this morning he surrendered to the Lord. There's a message in their story. Only God can get the glory when a child of his keeps knocking at the door. It pays to pray. It pays to call upon his name. It pays to pray. To see a miracle displayed, you'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. You know he will make a way. It pays to pray. You're tempted to quit praying. You feel he's never listening. The time has come and you must make a choice. Do you stop believing? Forget what you were seeking? Or do you resolve that Jesus hears your voice? Then he'll hush the angels' praises just to hear what you were saying. And at any moment now you will rejoice. It pays to pray. It pays to call upon his name. It pays to pray. To see a miracle displayed, you'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. I know he will make a way. It pays to pray. You'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. You know he will make a way. It pays to pray. Prayer's just as big as God is. Prayer's just as strong as God is strong. Prayer reaches far as God can reach. Don't ever give up, just pray. It pays to pray. It pays to call upon name. It pays to pray, to see a miracle displayed. You'll forget the word impossible when you seek the Savior's face. I know He will make a way. It pays to I know He will make a way. It pays to pray. Pray. Just pray. It pays to pray.
Dan, as long as you got that microphone there, when was the first time you ever sang in church?
Oh, man. It was when I was in my teens. My brothers and I, we sang together quite a bit around the West Michigan area and stuff. And we just had a good time, and the Lord's blessed, and we're thankful for that.
Well, that's a neat thing to be involved as a teenager in ministry, and then you can see, you know, you're just a little more than a teenager now, and you've had a chance all these years to minister that way. That's a good testimony.
It took a long time to do this, because I'm not used to standing up in front of people by myself. I've sang like with my brothers and guys and stuff, but this is new. This is new for me.
Well, so. Thank you. Thank you for persevering and doing it. It was wonderful.
Appreciate it.
We asked the men to come at this time. We're going to receive the offering. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. So, Bill, will you thank the Lord for this offering?
Our Father, we thank you for this truth. And this thing about the Lord, you said, call upon me, I'll show you greater and wonderful things if you know not. Lord, you have all power in heaven and earth, Lord. That's answered the problem in our country, and not politics. If there were a professing Christian in this country, on their knees and prayed and called out to God, He would awaken this country to its need and restore our country. Lord, we pray that that will happen throughout this nation. Lord, give us another great awakening. We thank you for this offering, Lord, for you'll use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Trish. Precious Lamb of Glory, wonderful song. Let's sing a song, Draw Me Near. I am thine, O Lord, heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me
Well, we have a couple of volunteers to do Lord's Table testimonies tonight. A couple weeks ago, Matt and Deborah joined the ministry here, and I had a chance to sit down and listen to their testimonies, and I told them right then and there that I felt like you'd probably want to hear them. So we've asked them to come, and they're going to come together, and you know the testimonies. You can sing, preach, whatever you need to do.
I didn't realize I was doing this until Friday. Matt told me that Pastor asked us to do this, so I was like, cool. So, but it's nice because like an hour before I got here, I was kind of really freaking out about it, and I was like, Sunday nights, like half the people are here that are on Sunday morning, so it made me feel better. But anyways, I guess I'll just start at the beginning. I thought that I got saved whenever I was about 5 or 6. I grew up in a really awesome Christian family, and my parents made it very evident that they loved God and desired their children to do the same. And I just kind of knew that that's what I was supposed to do. So whenever I was about 5 or 6, I asked like my dad how to do it, and he led me to Christ, like shared some verses with me, and I accepted him. And like I called my grandparents and my Sunday school teachers and stuff, and I was just really excited. But after that, I kind of just went on my way, and I don't know, like most kids don't really understand what they've done. Like some people, it gets in there and they are conscious of it. But I didn't really think about it that much. Like I went to church every single week, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, any kind of extra special stuff. And I didn't really think about it because that's what had always been done, but I didn't desire it either. Like I wasn't hungry to know God. I didn't really care much about him. Whenever I was in high school, it went instead of being kind of just whatever to high school, I wasn't a very nice person. I was a pretty ugly person, and I mean, people didn't see it on the outside. I kind of kept it in there, except for whenever I was at home. Most of the person who got it was my sister Leah. She was easy prey, and me and my brother kind of picked on her a lot. And I don't know. I still had no desire to get to know God. I mean, I had morals because I think I just grew up knowing that, like, what I was supposed to do, and but it wasn't like a conviction. It wasn't like I was grieving the Holy Spirit by any means. I just didn't want to get caught doing things, and I was just a really miserable person. And my senior year, I went here to Grace, and then I graduated, and I went away for a little while to live in Atlanta, and for like maybe 3 months, and I still was pretty miserable. I was really depressed because I didn't have a job there. I couldn't get one there because I wanted to come back every weekend, and I was there to kind of look out for my cousin because she likes to get in mischief sometimes, and I probably wasn't the best person to come and influence her for the good. But I went down there, and then when I came back, I worked at the coffee shop Cafe Mi Aroma that was over by where Zaxby's was. And I just kind of continued on my way. I was miserable all the time. I just was a very cold person. I never cried about anything. I just was, I don't know, just really shut up inside. And there was this band that went there. They played live music, and I thought that the lead singer was really cute, and so he invited us to his church at Oka Baptist, and me and a friend decided to go because I wanted to see what he was about. He seemed like a really nice guy and interesting and musically inclined and all this, and so I went, I started going to the college ministry there, and like on Wednesday nights in the Bible study, and I actually started, I guess the ice started melting, and it was a gradual process, but, and for me, it wasn't like all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I need a change or whatever. It was just more of a gradual thing. Like, I did get saved. I don't know the date when it happened, but I do know that, you know, at one point I did decide to follow Jesus, and I stepped from darkness into light. And after that, I mean, I wanted to live like Christ would. I was trying to love people. It's not easy for me to love people. I'm kind of critical of them, and I just think most of them are kind of stupid. So it's hard for me in that sense, and that's what I'm working on right now. So I've just been growing. I went there. I've been here since I was 10, and then after high school, I went to Oakwood for about 5 years, and then I worked with this girl, Christy Butler, at Hobby Lobby, and she went to Word of Life Bible Institute, and she went to the one in Florida, and I'm not much of a crowd person, and the one in New York has like 500 or 600 students, so I was like, I don't think so, and it was cold, so I didn't want to go up there. So I went down there, and I spent a year, and it was a really awesome year. Like, I knew a lot about the Bible because, like, my parents would talk to me, and we'd get a sermon before church on Sunday evenings a lot of times from my dad, and I was just like, this is so boring, but now, like, I've realized how much I've retained, and it's really nice, but going to the Bible Institute, I learned a lot. I loved, like, the theology classes and learning the characteristics of God and disciplining myself, and I met Matt there, and he was living in Florida, and we sat together every day in class, and he's about 4 years younger than me, and so I just thought he was this kid from high school that just graduated, and I don't know, like, a lot of people think that I am a snob, but I really, it's hard for me to, like, put myself out and talk to people. Like, it's not that I'm unfriendly, I just am shy. So, anyways, he thought that I was kind of a brat and a snob, and I just thought he was this kid, and he tried to be my friend so hard, and he was so nice to me, and even though I didn't know him well, sometimes he would tell me stuff that I didn't want to hear, but I needed to hear about being kind to people, and I don't know, I was pretty mean to him, actually, and he still stuck around. Like, he pursued me like crazy, and I didn't understand why. And finally, I broke down and said, all right. And so here we are today married, but he's a really awesome guy. I've always wanted to be friends with a guy before I dated him, and so I was friends with him for several months, and he reminds me a lot of my dad, and I don't know, he has the perfect amount of silliness and maturity that I like. So anyways, we came back here, and we got married January 1st, and we're trying to get involved here. I'm probably going to be getting involved with the Choices thing. I'm going to a training, I think, either March 11th or the 18th. I've always been interested in that kind of stuff, the abortion, and so anyways, we're just kind of waiting to see what God has for us, and I'm just really glad that I came back here. So I wanted to share a verse, one of my favorite verses, that just, I don't know, it gets to me every time that I hear it, because this is what Jesus did for me. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And a lot of people don't want to be Christians because they think there's all these rules they want to follow, but they don't want to follow. But loving God, like, you don't really think about it. You just do it. And he did take his burdens, or my burdens, and his burden was a lot lighter. I was miserable, and now I'm not. And I'm not an emotional person, but the closer I get to God, the more I cry. So it kind of stinks, but I guess that's how it goes.
I'm Matt. I was born into what people label it as, a Christian home, whatever that is. My mom, I believe, is the only one saved. My dad claims he is, but I don't see any fruit, really, so it's hard for me to believe that. And it's been hard because my dad's kind of been apart from me most of my life. He's been there physically, but our relationship hasn't really gotten that great till just the past couple of years, and it's still not that wonderful. But when I was 4, I wanted to know how I could be saved and accept Christ as my Savior and King. And my mom shared it with me through a track in our living room, and I can almost see it perfectly now. And the date, I don't know. I was 4, so. I remember going to church, and I enjoyed Sunday school. I didn't enjoy big church so much. I was pretty happy if I got the draw on the back of the offering envelopes. That's just how life was. And my mom always loved God, and I always saw how she was so filled with his love, and she was so compassionate towards me and my sister, and I saw how my dad was, and he was really angry and miserable, and they would fight, and he would threaten to, you know, divorce her every few years, and she loved him and loved God so much that she wouldn't go through with it, and they're still together today for, like, I think it's going to be 28 years this June. But her love was just, I saw something different than what I saw in other people. And so I wanted that. And finally, the second time I witnessed it, it was probably the 4th time he'd done it, though. He threatened to divorce her again when I was in, like, 6th grade. And it really hit her hard because it seemed like the closer she got to God, the further away her and my dad were, because I think he was jealous of God because my mom loved him more than she did my dad, and he knew it. And I think my dad was unfaithful to my mom, and she thinks so as well. But she just started going downhill after that, and I saw that. We used to read scriptures in the morning together, and that kind of stopped. And you know, swearing wasn't allowed in my house. We had our Christian morals. That was in my head not to do. And I used to lie a lot, and they rid me of that. And then, you know, things started creeping into my life after, you know, my spiritual leader was falling down, because then I started falling down. And I started swearing more. I started, you know, looking at women in ways that God didn't intend for us to look at. And that really got me caught up throughout middle school and then carried on to high school. I went to church. My friends they did get in the Awanas, but I stunk at Awanas because I hate memorizing verses, and I enjoyed the games, but I was a chunky kid, so I wasn't really great at those either. And, you know, my friends made fun of me because of my size and stuff, and I was just, I didn't like church really. I liked God, I loved God, but I didn't like the church. And so finally I got caught up with, once I got into high school, I got caught up in music, and I quit going to church because my practices for drumline and stuff were on Thursday nights, which was when my youth group was, and I worked with my dad on the weekends, mostly on Sundays, and so I had no truth coming in me, and I was surrounded by the world every day, and finally, you know, I just caught up in lust so bad that I still loved God and I desired to serve Him, but I didn't know how to go about it and was confused on God because I didn't have enough of His truth in me to know who He was. I didn't know Him at all, and so all I knew what to do was to pray, and so that's what I did. And I prayed every night that God would save me from my sins, and that He would forgive me, and that He would help me. And finally, that just went on for about 4 years. And finally, my senior year, I decided to go back and visit my church, and they were reading this book, Crazy Love, and my youth pastor was selling it for like half price, and I happened to have the exact price on me, so I bought it, and I read through it, and it really got me on fire for the Lord, because I finally got a taste of how God is, like His unconditional love for us, that no matter how much we sin, He won't love us any less, and no matter what we try to do our best at, He'll never love us more. Like, it's always constant, and He loves us, and all He wants is our love back. And that really moved me, and I started reading His word, and I read straight through Luke, and I saw what was going on there, and I was like, I really need to get serious. And He started He started scraping off a lot of dirt, and music was my God, and He has, you know, taken that away from me, and I don't really have a passion for that as much as I used to, just because it always got in the way. And I just, ever since I've gotten back close with the Lord, I've always wanted to be like this superhero Christian. I always had to be told all the time that I need to slow down, that I need to, you know, enjoy the journey, that I need to just not pressure myself to be, you know, just this instant perfect guy who's just like Jesus Christ, and that it takes time. And I beat myself up a lot about that. And even though God has saved me, I still sin against Him daily, and I'm very conscious of my sins, and it hurts me because I'm grieving Him and I'm grieving His Spirit. And but this verse has, I found out about it when I went to Word of Life, and because I didn't even know there was an Ezra or Nehemiah or anything until I went to Word of Life. I didn't know anything about Bible. But this is in Psalm 73, and I guess I'll start in verse 24 and go through 26. It says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever." And also another verse that is kind of in the same sequence as that. Well, how it affects me, where I have to remind myself God's constant love for me, is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in 11 through 13. It says, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." And that really has gotten me through a lot, just because I know when I'm unfaithful to Him, but He cannot ever stop being faithful to me because He dwells inside me, and that always assures me of my salvation. And I just hope my testimony is a witness that no matter how far away you get from God or how many times you repeat the same sin over and over, if you are still longing to be with God, He will seek after you, and your relationship can still be rekindled. And I hope that Deborah and I will be beneficial to the church with Christ working through us, and that we can get involved any way we can and help anyone who we can in any way. So just feel free to ask us for help. Thank you.
Well, that was great. Thank you. And, you know, I think of Tip and Gloria and the ministry that they had. As I look at Tip, I see this college boy that Marty Frisky was hollering at. And he would yell things at Tip like, "Tip, we need mud here," or one thing or another. And I know none of you can imagine Marty yelling at anybody, but Tip was running around, and this is before you were married, I think, and was getting mud, and Tommy Sexton was, you know, who's now a wingding preacher, they tell me. They were laying block and building this building and everything. And what, as I thought about Tip, I guess I never really thought, well, what is God going to do through the years? And now you look at it, you see the rest of the story and everything. That is really so neat. Deborah, thank you for coming back. This is neat. And bringing Matt along, that's kind of nice too. And God's going to have a ministry for you here. And so you wait and see, because the Lord's going to use you to be an encouragement. And so some of the rest of us old geezers, you know, we have things that we can share along the way, but more than that, we need you to connect with us and help us see our way clear to do right, you know, and continue to work and strengthen the next generation and everything. So thank you so much. So this is the Lord's table. And, you know, when you say it's the Lord's table, it's the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not Grace Baptist Church's table. If you know the Lord, whether you're a member here or not, we encourage you to participate in this, His table. And so as we think about His table, the first thing that we look at is we look at the bread. And, of course, the bread is reflective of who He is. He is God, very God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what do we remember about those events? We remember that it was God, very God, who came and offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. James, will you thank the Lord for the bread, please?
Dear Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to get together tonight, Lord, to remember that you've been heard, that you've been the perfect life, Lord, that you've chosen to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The rest of that great passage continues, and it starts off by telling us who he is. He is God, very God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rest of the passage tells us, what did he do? He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He shed his blood. And Leviticus, all the way back, said, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it's the blood that makes the atonement for the souls. Now, in the Old Testament, Romans tells us, that in the Old Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the sacrifices, he passed over the sins just as he did that night in Egypt when he saw the blood on the doorpost. He passed over the sins looking to the fulfillment of the sacrifice that Christ would one day make on the cross. And the hymn writer, of course, immortalized that thought even more so about passing over and everything. I'm not real good at singing that one right now, but what a tremendous, tremendous truth that is. Dan Diltz, will you thank the Lord for the cup, please?
Thank you.
So after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup's the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So the participation in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, in the elements, the bread and the juice and everything, doesn't really give us anything spiritually at all. This is a rich experience for us to think and to meditate, but there is no sacrament here. This is an ordinance of the church, and as such, there are things that we're encouraged and we're exhorted as we look at the Word and we look at the Scriptures. That's what God does for us in an event like this. And so I'm glad we're able to share this. And of course, this was such a significant and important event. There's passages in the book of Acts that seem to indicate that every time believers got together, they participated in the Lord's table because they just wanted to remember the Lord. A lot of times people say, well, we do it once a quarter, or some of them even less frequently than that. I always felt that the Scripture, the tenor of Scripture, seems to indicate the frequent observance of the Lord's Supper, because the event that is commemorated, it never gets old. When you think about it, it's your sins and my sins for whom He died. What a glorious, glorious truth. Hallelujah. We take a benevolence offering to help people, and there's lots of opportunities and needs. We encourage you to give and to give generously. Gracious Father, for this offering, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about my dad and his generation, and I think about so many others of you that have lost loved ones. John Ramsey and I frequently talk about his dad and the experiences that he had as a boy going and helping build Camp Berean down in southern Indiana near Cataract and Kegel Mills and all of that. Those are all wonderful places, you know. You can find rhubarb pie in many of these places, I might add. But, you know, just that generation of John's dad and my dad and so forth, that generation's essentially gone. I was thinking about if mom and dad ever went in the hospital or somebody went in the hospital, there was always just a gazillion people that would go by and see him. And I'd think of a great big tall deacon in our church, Henry Swindler, and his wife Martha. Henry and Martha would be there. They've been with the Lord several years now. And Everett Blair and his wife Miriam, they would be there, and there would be others that would come and do that. But as you get a little older, your generation begins to leave. And so it's up to us that are a little younger. I think of myself as a little younger, to be able to have that opportunity to go and pull those things together and to be an encouragement. So if you can do it, you know, there's people that need you to go by and to remember them. You remember Helen Mowry and the opportunities we have with Helen. You remember that Daryl has a mama that's in, I think, Standard for Place and everything. And so you remember Daryl's mama. And there's two or three or four others of our shut-ins that are there in various kinds of places that Harris visited a lot of those people. And so if you can see them, that would be such a blessing and such an encouragement to you. Well, listen, you have a great evening. And as we think about this Lord's table, perhaps this week, perhaps today, the Lord comes back. It'd be a great time to come back, wouldn't it? You know, I just as soon not know how they're going to solve their problems in Wisconsin. Lord bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for worshiping with us today.
Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.